Welcome to Emergency Contact Episode 1. My name is Brian. I am not a doctor.
My name is Andy. I am not a doctor as well.
This podcast is... Andy, how would you describe it?
I would say this is people telling good stories about bad injuries.
That's exactly it.
Yeah.
It's almost as if we wrote that down and memorized it in order to say it for this first episode.
But we didn't. I just thought of that right now.
Okay. All right. I'll believe that. So the reason we like talking about these sort of things is everyone has like a really interesting story about an injury.
Right. And the best part about it is when something like that happens to you, you remember all the tiny little fine details that make it like a really rich and funny story.
Yeah. I'd say, you know, at the time it probably wasn't very funny, but to look back on it, I think everybody has almost a fond memory of it.
And it's kind of a universal thing. Because everybody has one, you can connect with every story.
Sure. So, Andy.
Yes.
This week, any injuries?
Not significant. I got a little scratched up. He was rock climbing.
Yes, he was rock climbing in Kentucky, so I assumed you were going to have like an awesome injury.
No. I mean, I'm not great at it. I'm not bad, but
At getting injuries?
Oh, at rock climbing, okay. Climbing rocks. You know, you're strapped into a harness and everything, so you can't get too injured as long as people are paying attention. So yeah, just little scrapes and cuts here and there.
No cool stories about like a cliffhanger incident?
No, like Stallone. Yeah? I don't know. Okay. I've never seen Cliffhanger.
Okay.
How about you? Did you get injured this week?
No.
All right.
I was super excited to have a cool story about getting injured. Did not get injured this week.
Oh well.
Which I guess is a blessing. But for this podcast, a little bit of a curse.
Yeah.
Today, on Emergency Contact, our first guest, it's going to make it or break it, no pressure, is Georgia Hudson.
Hi, thanks for having me.
You're welcome. So you might know Georgia from the Low Budget Sketch Show, in which she is the creative director, or just creator in general.
Yep.
Brit and Brit.
Mm-hmm.
And...
various online comedy projects.
There you go. Yeah. I mean, if you're in the New York City comedy scene, you probably know Georgia because she's a big deal.
Ow.
Ow. Ow. So Georgia has an interesting story that she wants to tell us. Now, this recently happened to you, correct?
This happened exactly a year ago.
Exactly.
Like, to the day?
No, it was March 27th. 2015, okay. So almost exactly a year ago.
Okay.
Yeah, the weather was the same, etc.
This warm?
I think it was warm, yeah.
Okay. All right, so Georgia, take us away.
Great, okay. Well, it was a Friday. I was seeing a comedy show at The Annoyance in Williamsburg with my comedy partner, my friend Brittany. And everything was fine. It was just your average night, just seeing friends. Went for a few drinks, not that many. We weren't drunk or anything. We started walking home, grabbed a slice of pizza, and we live in the neighborhood, so it wasn't like a long journey or anything. And also by this time of the year, whereas like a month prior, there had been ice all over the streets. If you remember, everyone was like slipping and everyone was in slow motion and it was so scary. But by March, everything was completely fine, which made it even more embarrassing that this happened.
Okay. Just to preface this, this is New York City.
Yes.
I should have said that in the beginning of this podcast. We're based in New York City. This was in Brooklyn, correct?
Yep.
Okay.
Yes, this is in Brooklyn. So we weren't very far from home. And we were walking back from the bar where we'd had a couple drinks. And we were like two blocks away from our apartment. And just out of nowhere, I just like tripped on the pavement and just like smashed my face on the floor.
The floor.
The street floor, the city floor.
The floor of outside.
The outside floor.
It's God's floor.
It's the mayor's floor.
The mayor's floor.
Yeah.
So you blame this on Bloomberg.
Of course.
This was Bloomberg, correct?
A year ago?
I think so, right?
I don't remember.
When de Blasio came in? It was his fault.
Okay.
So was this on a sidewalk or in the street?
Yeah. This was right on a sidewalk. We were crossing the street, so like one sidewalk to another, and just out of nowhere, just in a split second, I was just like, whoa, what just happened? I guess we found out later that it was one of those, you know, those little fences that holds up the trees, or like those tiny little things where the trees grow. So that's probably the mayor's fault too.
Yeah.
Sure.
I think he put them there on purpose for this kind of thing.
I don't know what this kind of thing was, but it happened. So all of a sudden, we were just giggling. We were just walking home. It was just a normal night. And then all of a sudden, I was like, what just happened? And I just felt shock and like adrenaline, as you do when you have an injury. And then I started to feel kind of numb in my face. But like I said, we had like a drink or two. We were like, oh, that was weird. But I could feel that something was wrong, but I also wasn't like bleeding everywhere.
Sure.
So we get home to our apartment and I run to the bathroom and I switch on the light and I look in the mirror and my face is just a mess.
Oh, so you didn't even, like, she didn't tell you, like, oh, hey, you're kind of fucked up.
You got a thing.
Well, we were just, like, rushing home. I think I was probably hiding, or we were, like, in a hurry to get home. And it was the middle of the night. It was maybe, like, 3 a.m. So there was no one around. It was very dark. She probably couldn't see anything yet.
Well, that was, like, the mayor's kind of thing was, like, keeping the streets dark, right?
At night, yes. Yeah.
He's like, I want people to have accidents and then not see what's happening to them.
He's trying to off all the millennials.
Right? Oh, man, he's got it out for us.
This is probably also my fault.
well, so what is it? Is it the mayor's fault, your fault, a little bit of both? Or more so on
I'm head? Still processing it. Okay. It was very traumatic.
It was recent, yeah.
Yeah, so I look in the mirror and my heart just stops. So one of the first things I did notice when I got up from the floor is that my glasses, which have kind of thick black frames, were just snapped in two. So I was just kind of holding them up with my hands.
You didn't get the tape in the middle?
I did not have tape in the middle. So once I put them back on and could actually see my face, I guess I saw that two of my front teeth had been completely chipped. They were just completely fucked. They were broken.
Mm-hmm.
And my glasses were broken and there were scratches all over my face. And because of the way I kind of landed on my chin, the concrete kind of like pushed my face up at this angle in which where my glasses broke, they pushed like my eye bags. They kind of pushed into my eyes.
Ugh.
So the next morning I had giant bruises all over my eyes and it looked like I'd been punched in the face, but obviously I hadn't.
We got punched in the face by the floor.
Yeah. Exactly.
I mean, when you think about it, you got punched in the face by the mayor.
Man, you really got it out for the mayor in this episode.
I don't want to get in trouble, okay?
It's kind of an expose at this point. It's like, okay, this is no longer Emergency Contact. This is Serial Season 3.
I hope not. I hope it's as popular.
I'm sure it will be. Okay, so continue. You've got the bruised face and the chipped teeth.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Can I just interject? Did you not go to the hospital that night?
Nope.
All right.
Would you like to cue in the audience that you are British?
I'm British. I didn't have health insurance at the time. Yeah. I'm also a freelancer, so I don't have any kind of insurance through work.
Mm-hmm.
Also don't have any money.
It's
so.
It's the nightmare scenario for people our age.
Like, strange place.
Well, I've lived here for five and a half years.
No, but I mean, it was more so the financial burden of this place.
So yeah, it's a place where you're not like, you don't have that anchor.
Safety net.
Yeah.
Although that is an interesting angle because of the way this developed.
Okay.
Well I say interesting, I don't know, but...
Take us there.
Okay. So at this point, it's maybe like 4:30 in the morning. My roommate, Brittany, is the only one awake. She's the only one with me. You know, everyone else is asleep. And I don't know what to do. I sat on the couch. She gave me an ice pack. She went into emergency mode. I think she actually may be my emergency contact in a couple places.
Excellent.
I used it.
Name drop.
So she was great. She got me like an ice pack and put it on my face. One side of my face was just completely swollen. I had scratches all over my knees as well. I was wearing a dress and tights and my tights had completely ripped.
That's the worst.
It was
worst
everywhere.
Of it. You had to go get new tights.
It's hard to find tights that just fit perfectly. But that was not the worst of it. So I was just freaking out. She was the calm one. She was like, we'll do this and this and this. My sister's boyfriend is a dentist in training. And I was like, great. That's the best. That's the best clue I have for recovery. But obviously the thing I was most worried about was my teeth, because they were just completely, like, bruises heal, but I had never had an accident where my mouth just cracked.
Yeah.
So I was just in shock. I didn't know what to do. I texted a couple of friends, like, hey, can you call me now? But everyone was asleep because it's like 4:30 in the morning.
Sure.
So she just sat on the couch with me. She calmed me down a little bit, and she was like, just stay up like a half an hour, make sure you don't have a concussion, and then just go to bed, just like rest, whatever, we'll deal with this in the morning. So everything was scary, but we had to wait.
Yeah.
So the next morning when I wake up and I've been just like, you know, uncomfortable and like scared all night, I wake up and I remember that this has happened, and I looked in the mirror and my face is just like so swollen and bruised up, and I was so scared. And I got a couple of replies on my phone. It was like, hey, what happened? Call me back.
Those jerks. Yeah, sleeping.
Sleeping at 5 a.m. How dare they? But I was too shaken to like really speak to anyone. But we woke up our other roommate, Steph, and told her what kind of happened. And we were trying to remember kind of clearly what had happened, because it happened so quickly. So both of my roommates went into action mode. They got me smoothies and Neosporin. And smoothies in Williamsburg are expensive.
Oh.
So they're good friends.
Now, more expensive than extensive dental work?
No.
Okay.
The next step was to deal with that. And again, I didn't have like a dentist or anything. And I was still kind of in shock. So my roommates started like posting on Facebook, like, anyone have recommendations for free or cheap emergency dentist, whatever. We tried to call a couple places, but because it was Saturday, like everywhere was closed. So that made it even harder. And it was like, oh, you just have to wait. We left some messages and stuff, at the places that people recommended, just to get a quote. But again, every office was like closed till Monday because emergencies don't happen on weekends.
Oh, of course,
it was my fault. So it was scary that morning. And so I was texting my mom about it, who lives in London. My whole family lives in England. And she was freaking out, and I was sending her like sad selfies just to prove that this
just
is
to make
bad.
Her even more worried. This is also what I look like.
You know, just
you're
like,
not
I'm not being dramatic. Yeah, this is, it looks bad. And she was like, get on a plane, like fly straight home. We have the NHS here. I'll look after you. And at that point, obviously, like, the last thing I wanted to do was sit on a plane, you know, like a 6-hour
flight,
plane
ride,
with my face broken by myself, when I had two roommates bringing me smoothies and ice packs and Neosporin. And it was that moment that I kind of realized being like at home, as in where I'm from, would be the scariest thing right now, because everything and everyone I need is right here with me, like in this apartment.
Sure.
Yeah. And I think that was the first time I realized, well, this is home. This is the home that I've made myself, because like I can't imagine feeling more alienated than being in London right now with just like a freaked out mom and no one else that I even know anymore.
So you're looking for quotes. It's still the weekend. Were you getting any quotes? Because
no.
I'm curious as to like uninsured what these quotes were.
Right. So none of the private clinics or dental clinics or whatever would answer. There was like somebody recommended like an emergency dental thing in maybe Union Square, but I think they charged like an outrageous amount for someone with no insurance. Obviously, why wouldn't they? They can do whatever. Or I'm at their will.
I'm just imagining like right in the middle of Union Square.
Well, there's that guy who does the massages in Union Square.
It's right next to like the break dancers, the Hare Krishna. There's the dentist chair where the guy's like
in the park,
leaning back like.
His eyes are just money bags.
What?
Even if you're in this chair on the street, I bet the rent is outrageous.
Oh, that's true. Yeah.
I just imagine like the price drawn on like a ripped cardboard like pizza box or something.
Real
like $30 pull tooth or something.
That's not bad. Is that with anesthetic or not?
No, I don't know. I doubt it. Probably not.
So then a couple of people recommended the dental schools like NYU. They have an emergency thing that's open on weekends for I don't know, poor people, I guess. Millennials with no insurance. Yeah.
Basically.
Yeah, people who are
people
screwed.
Like us, yeah.
Yep. So then my roommate Steph took me in a cab there. We had to wait ages because it was a weekend, so there was like maybe two people walking. And I just felt so like gross and unsafe, and I just felt really uncomfortable. I don't know. It was a very weird feeling because it was, you know, it's not like a clinic you've been to before. It's like your family dentist. It's just like a weird emergency thing. And I don't know, maybe for context, I should say, like, as a kid, I never had accidents. I've never been to, like, the ER or anything.
So this was your first major emergency.
This is my first injury.
Mm-hmm. First and only at this point, right? You haven't had any since then.
Knock on wood.
Well, you got a wooden chair. Knock on it. There
Thank
you.
Go. So I eventually saw this woman. She was nice, but she seemed like, you know, she didn't really seem that confident in her answer. She was like... She's like, oh, you should come back in like 2 weeks because we don't know if like the nerve is healed or what. And I was like, no, I kind of wanted to fix this now. And even they weren't free. They were still like, this is going to cost whatever, whatever. But I just didn't get a good feeling. So I was like, you know what? I'll just wait until Monday, hear back from all those other places we called and just be patient because I just didn't feel great there. And I remember, while we had to wait for the appointment, or they were on a lunch break, because I don't know, on weekends I guess you have like a 2-hour lunch break if you work in an emergency free dental school clinic.
So not only is it just understaffed, but the staff that is there just taking a long ass break.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm sure they do great work. I'm not like saying anything bad about them. But when we got there, it was a bad time. And we had to go wait in this diner. And I was just hiding my face behind this giant diner menu. And my roommate is just like talking about makeup and fashion because that's what she likes. And that's great. That's fine. But I was just like dying inside. I just did not want to be outside. I just wanted to be seen by the dentist in and out. No diner. No, thank you. Yeah. So that's neither here nor there. Yeah, so I went back. We went back home. I just like laid on the couch like a sad puppy, and I think we were dog sitting at the time. So there was another puppy. I think there was because I was looking at pictures from that week.
And there were puppies.
There was one.
Oh, there was at
like
least one.
A selfie of like a swollen face and like just fur.
Yeah, I remember being annoyed by the puppy because it just kept jumping in my face, like wanting attention, and I was like, this hurts.
Don't you understand?
Don't you understand? Because aren't dogs supposed to be sensitive to like illness or sadness? That's supposed to like give you a break?
That's a good question. I mean, I'm not a dog person. Andy, you're more of a dog person.
I love dogs. I think like that was always my understanding, that they kind of, at least with their owner, you were just dog sitting.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't know about like... Strangers. Dogs with strangers, but I know like dogs that I've owned, like whenever I'm like kind of bummed out, it's like more of a playful like, hey, let's do something kind of like nudging you.
To cheer you up.
Yeah,
so
it's
maybe
like,
it was
it's
trying
playful
to cheer
in that
you
way.
Up.
Maybe.
Not realizing you're really not able to be cheered up at this point.
Yeah.
Well, isn't it cats can sense death or something? Is that all they can do? Well, you've heard that where it's like cats
probably.
Will sit on like patients' beds in like old folks' homes, and
they're
then
like,
they'll, like,
this
die.
One goes next.
Yeah, they can God. Like they can. I think some dogs have done that too. It's like they can like.
Well, dogs
tell.
Sniff cancer.
Okay.
Cats kill people.
They don't kill them. I know they. I know people say they steal babies' breath, but that's not true. You've heard that,
it's
right?
It's how they get their lives, their extra lives.
They suck the breath out of 9 babies, and then they're good to go.
Yeah.
I'm really glad at the beginning of this you said, I'm not a doctor. I'm glad that's out there.
Let me reiterate, I'm not a doctor, although this is more of a veterinarian type situation.
So we could be right.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if a doctor's going to know the ins and outs of, cats stealing breaths.
If I had to guess, 9 is probably the max, and that's why...
9 babies or 9 lives?
Well, both.
I wonder, I know it's Cats Have Nine Lives, but is that the max?
Yeah.
Or is that just like the average?
That's the
like
max.
No cat. There's okay. One cat out there who's trying to get to like his 10th life. Like that's the record that's been set.
That's too many.
Well, I think nine's too many.
Yeah.
So did you, who did you get to see eventually?
Okay, so this is how it works. If, again, you're a young, poor person with no insurance and you're a comedian, so the only people you know are comedians.
So take notes, everybody, right now. Get out your pad of paper and a pen.
Yeah, and I can't guarantee this will work for you, but it probably will.
So definitely it'll work.
Definitely it'll work. So what I managed to do was someone who I was on a temporary improv group with had a fiance who had gone to college with someone who is now a dentist who owns her own clinic in Washington Square Park. Via this like triple hookup, my friend who I was on this improv group with arranged for me to be able to go see this magic dentist woman in Washington Square Park at this really nice clinic at some kind of discount price.
All right.
So,
a coupon? Did you get a discount with a coupon? Like bring a friend or something?
So basically, you know, at that point I was like, well, nothing's going to happen for free, but I need to fix my face. And this discount rate or whatever is just a lifesaver at this point. So it didn't end up costing thousands of dollars, which I thought it would, because two of my front teeth were completely just screwed up. They were just gone.
Yeah.
Like I went looking for like the other halves on North 9th and Driggs where this happened. But
de Blasio had already scooped
them
up.
He scooped them up, yeah. He put them in the tree. I don't know.
He planted them.
For future accidents.
He's got a trophy wall.
Got another.
Just tiny little chips of teeth.
You know he killed a groundhog, right?
He did. Did he kill him? I thought he just dropped him.
He dropped him, and then it died like the next week from internal injuries.
Oh no!
That the like vet concluded was from the fall. Basically,
oh man!
Basically, the vet said it was definitely the fall that killed it. Isn't that terrible?
This was hushed up. Oh my!
Okay, so de Blasio is a groundhog killer. continue.
So did you get put under or were you conscious for this?
No, it didn't take that long. She did x-rays of everything. She actually didn't say anything that the NYU dentist had said about nubs or anything. She was just like, oh, I'll fix this right now.
I got 5 minutes.
Yeah, it didn't take that long, maybe like half an hour. But they just like, I don't know, they just fixed my teeth. They put, they like caps or something like that. Bun. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know what the term is, but they
crown?
Just fixed
is
them.
Is that the term, crown?
I don't know, but they made them
not
look
a
like
dentist either.
The same yeah. color and everything.
We're not doctors. We're not dentists.
We're not. Yeah, we're not. We're not in the medical industry at all.
So you made your half teeth whole teeth.
Yeah, yeah. So okay. She completely fixed them, and you know, after, I mean, I still had this giant bruise on one of my eyes, and just scratches everywhere still. So I just got in a cab home. Didn't want to see anyone. And it, you know, the bruise lasted maybe a week or so.
That's not bad.
Yeah, it wasn't too bad.
Did they take x-rays to make sure you didn't like crack your like eye socket or something like that?
No, they only had dental x-rays. They only had the little guys that you put,
oh yeah,
you know?
The stuff in your mouth. But I mean, I think that would have been a concern of mine. It's like, I also smashed my face.
Yeah, no, they didn't. Well, both she and the NYU dentist were asking, like, did you go to a doctor? Why not? Who did this to you? And I was like,
de Blasio.
Dude, no one. I was like, no, I don't have insurance. I haven't been to the hospital. I didn't get a concussion. I'm lucky that everything was fine.
Okay.
And then I had to get new glasses, which also sucked because it's expensive and took a couple more weeks.
Mm.
But like, I would say like a month or less than a month later, I was fine. But
I mean, the lasting damage really is you had to get new tights.
I did have to get new tights, and they didn't fit as good.
And that's the real tragedy here.
But also, remember I mentioned that we were holding pizza, and that also was left on the street.
Oh, 5-second rule? No?
No.
Took you a little more than 5 seconds to pick it up?
The adrenaline.
Okay. Was there a moment where you're like, I got to pick up that pizza?
Probably. I was really hungry. It was like 3 a.m. on a Friday night.
Like, it didn't set in yet that you had actually injured yourself and you're like, oh, I dropped my pizza. Shit.
Yeah, because like I said, the first thing that I could actually feel was that my glasses were broken. Oh. So I couldn't see really that well. Like,
where's the pizza?
That's why you didn't pick up the pizza fast enough. You couldn't see it.
Then you feel your face and you're like, shit, I can't eat this pizza anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So do you have insurance now?
Yeah, I have Obamacare, whatever the minimum is.
So did you just like do it right after that, or
pretty much?
Were you like,
that was your wake up call?
Now I'm gonna get an insurance.
It was a wake up call of many kinds. At the time, I had a couple part time jobs that were. It was kind of a wake up call. In that, oh, this is so scary to live, you know, in this country and kind of just be getting by and doing comedy and not really having like a stable full time job that. Sometimes if you have an emergency, you really need. It was a wake up call for that, but I'm alive. So.
And do you still wear the same footwear that you wore when you tripped?
I don't remember what I was wearing.
Crocs. My Crocs voice. My voice just cracked.
Crocs.
Crocs.
Yeah. I would say like it didn't traumatize me. I'm not like upset by it. But it was scary because it was kind of the first injury I've ever really had. Yeah.
Which to me is pretty miraculous.
Yeah. Like, and I'm glad it wasn't worse. Yeah.
I haven't had too many injuries, but I've had enough that like I got done in my younger years.
Mm-hmm.
Not too many as I'm older. So
there's still time.
I live a very risk-free life.
Oh yeah.
I'm like, I don't like going outside. I don't like I don't like doing sports. I don't like doing like rock climbing. Sorry, Andy. I don't put myself in these situations where you can die. So that's why I've been safe for the most part.
But you do live in New York where death is around every corner.
There's cats everywhere.
Cabs.
There's cats ready to
sit in her chest. Declare your death.
Okay, so there's one kind of word of advice. What would you give to people?
Well, as cheesy as it is, I think what doesn't kill you makes you stronger. I think it made me a bit more resilient in that, oh, this happened, but everything's fine. My friends really, really like were there for me. My roommates, they're like family. And also, as weird as this sounds, I think I'm a very anxious person. You know, a lot of us like write as comedians, we're in our heads so much that to have like a real injury to deal with was kind of refreshing. It was like, oh, this is something I can actually deal with as opposed to just like weird, scary, like worries in my mind that are not real. It was like, oh, this I can handle. It's a 1, 2, 3 process.
It's an actual problem instead of a problem that you're kind of... Yeah. Have in your head.
Yeah, which is it's a lot easier, I think, to deal with.
I don't know. I mean, I'd say they're both pretty bad. I wouldn't want to smash my face on the ground.
I wouldn't want to.
Well, you just said you preferred it again. Okay.
I wouldn't do it again. I've been a lot more careful since then. I go down steps very slowly, and I'm just.
Whereas before, you were just cavalier. Yeah. Just like winging
before, I was like, I'm gonna live forever. Yeah.
Okay, so Georgia Hudson. Beautiful
still,
story.
Still alive.
Thought she was going to live forever.
Thought she was a Highlander.
She thought she was the Highlander. and, you know, let's get de Blasio out of office.
Get him out of there.
Okay, so Andy, do you think it's about time we play a game?
Sure. All right, so we're going to play a game that I'm going to call Break or Fake.
Break or Fake. Cue the theme song.
Cue the theme song for Break or Fake.
Breaks to lose, but these here breaks rock your shoes, and these are the breaks. Break it up, break it up, break it up.
We never have a theme song, so
we'll put something in later.
We'll figure out something.
So that was the theme song. what I've got here are 5 different fractures. I'm going to read these to you. You tell me if it's a real fracture or if it's a fake injury that I made up.
Okay.
Are you ready?
Mm-hmm.
60 seconds on the clock.
First one. A chauffeur's fracture. So a chauffeur's fracture is a forced ulnar deviation of the wrist causing avulsion of the radial styloid.
It's got to be fake. I'm not playing. This is all on you.
Real or fake?
And the stakes are very high.
I'm going to say real.
Yes, real.
Because you laughed at the last word, was styloid.
Styloid.
And that sounds too funny to not be real.
Well, yeah.
It sounds stylish.
The next one. Clay shoveler's fracture. A forced hyperflexion of the neck.
Do you know what a hyperflexion is?
It feels painful. It sounds like it feels painful.
Yeah, I would agree.
I don't know. I've never shoveled clay, but okay. Clay shoveler's fracture.
I don't know. I'm going to say fake.
It's real.
Really?
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
One in one.
The All stakes right. are getting even higher now.
That's how the game works. All right. The next one is Herkimer Mohawk fracture. It's a distal radius fracture with an ulnar dislocation.
Real?
Nope.
Oh, no.
Herkimer Mohawk is it's an exit on the thruway when you drive from Buffalo to New York or Boston or something like that.
It's around Ithaca,
yeah,
right?
Something like
or
that.
Or Utica, maybe?
Yeah. All right.
You should know this, really.
Yeah, you're
right. You've been here for 7 years, 5 years, 6 years. I'm almost there. The next one, toddler's fracture.
This sounds so disturbing.
It's an undisplaced spiral fracture of the tibia in children under 8 years old.
Fake?
That one's real.
Really?
Really?
Yeah.
You're blowing my mind. That sounded like a real fake one.
Undisplaced spiral fracture
it's
of
all
the tibia.
Real.
Yeah. No, no. Herkimer Mohawk's fake.
All right.
It's a real place, but fake injury. All right. So the last one I have here.
And this is a winner takes all.
Sure.
So if you get this one,
you take it all.
You take it all.
Okay. All of these fractions.
You get all of these injuries.
Yeah.
You can keep them and do with them what you want.
You can dole them out to others.
And save them for a rainy day. All right. A small dwelling fracture. These are fractures involving a growth plate. And a growth plate is a cartilage plate that's at the end of a long bone, on both ends of a long bone.
Real?
Nope.
Fake. It's okay.
That's very
hard. We'll let you take them all anyway.
You can have them.
Oh, I'll give them to other people.
Toddler's fracture.
When
do you stop becoming a toddler?
That's why I said fake, because like eight years old is too
pretty
old.
Old.
Yeah, yeah, I thought toddler was like 3 and 4. Or so.
Well, when do your bones start? When do you have less bones? Is it like teenage?
It's a good thing you asked that because I am not a doctor.
You should cut
Georgia,
this
are you a doctor?
No.
I'm not a doctor, so I don't know.
So can't give you any advice on toddler fractures.
If you're a toddler and you're listening to this right now.
Yeah, write in to emergencycontactpodcast@gmail.com and let us know when your bones, when do you lose bones? Is that what you want to know?
Let us know if you've ever had a fracture, if you consider yourself a toddler or a big boy, and
yeah.
And it just, you know, help us get a better sense of what a toddler's fracture really is.
Okay.
Because we're not doctors.
So that is the end of our first episode, episode one.
Ooh.
The Phantom Menace of Emergency Contact. Yeah. Georgia,
Thank
you for being here. Thank you for telling our story.
Thank you, thank you.
Do you have anything you'd like to plug?
Plug? You can find me on Twitter at Georgiasmic, JORJASMIC, and look at various sketches I shoot and direct on GeorgiaHudsonPortfolio.com.
Do it. Andy, any plugs?
I'm going to plug a show that happens in Toronto. It's called Danger Zone Tonight. It's the fourth Thursday of every month. It's run by two super swell dudes. If you're ever in Toronto, go to that show.
All right.
Brian,
I mean, I guess that's,
do you want to plug anything, Brian?
Not really.
All right.
Maybe the Venture Brothers, the season finale was this past Sunday. It was really good. You should check it out. Do you want to wrap it up, Andy?
Nope.
Okay. As much as we like talking about injuries.
We don't want anybody to get injured.
Yeah. So stay safe out there. Because it's a jungle out there.
It's a jungle out there.
All right. Bye.
We should have that be the...
We should have the monk theme song. Is that specifically for monk?
No one seems to care. will I do? Hey, who's in charge here? It's jungle out there.